สวัสดีครับสวัสดีครับสวัสดีครับสวัสดีครับ in Thailand we don't shake hands, that's how we say hello. But America, everybody shakes hands again. That was definitely odd getting used to. We are grateful to be here tonight and want to thank Pastor and you folks for having us back. Many people who meet us the first time don't ever have us back, so I appreciate you having us back. But to say thank you, there you are. I don't know if you drink coffee, do you? This coffee, there's a man in our church where we serve out there that has a coffee shop. He has a coffee field up in northern Thailand. He harvests the coffee, brings it down. He produces it. He roasts it and grinds it or leaves a whole bean and ships it to different coffee shops there in Bangkok. And so this was roasted the day before we came back to America, and I brought 50 pounds of it. And any church that has us back, we give them a free bag of coffee. So I want to give this to you. Now it's up to him whether he shares that with the staff or anybody else here at the church, okay? So I did have a visiting pastor come, and he said that he thought it was a little bit strong for him. So I don't know what you need to do to weaken the coffee. You might want to do that. So if you don't mind, I want to thank you for supporting us both financially and prayers. And I want to let you know that both the finances and the prayers seem to come when we needed them the most. There are many ups and downs as a missionary, and I could tell you all the terrible things that make you feel real sorry for us. But to be honest, we love the Thai people. We love where we live. We love our area. We love our street. We love the food, and we really enjoy being there. And I think my video portrays and explains some facts about Thailand, but I'm not sure if I conveyed that how much we enjoy being there. We went because God had called us there, and we went because we love the Lord and we followed Him. But we can't wait to get back because we love the people, and they're very gracious to us. We want to thank you for supporting us. If you don't mind, while you're praying for us, we remind people this. We assume that in your lifetime you're going to eat dessert. And if you choose to eat ice cream as a dessert, a good vehicle to eat the ice cream would be on an ice cream cone. So when you eat any other dessert, pray for other missionaries. But if you eat ice cream on a cone, would you pray for the cone family, okay? And while you're praying for us, pray for these two or three things. When we go back, we're searching for a new pastor. I believe that we can raise up the pastor there in the church, and we actually have a few prospects that I think that God is calling. But pray for the next pastor of Grace Baptist Church. Our goal was to plant a church, but I don't believe we should move on until this church has somebody there. It wouldn't be fair for us to say, bye, we're missionaries, we're going somewhere else, until this church has a pastor that can carry it through. Then pray for my wife's English students. Nathan got up here and explained that he wished he could come back and see somebody saved. And we did see several people come to Christ, but my wife has English students that come every single Sunday. They come before church, and our goal is to try to get them in church. But we've not seen any of them get saved yet. They're very great people. She has a great class, and they love their teacher. The last Sunday before we left to come back to Thailand, none of them came to class because they didn't want to have to say goodbye to their teacher. And so pray for their salvation. Pray for a man named Mu. Owns a restaurant right down the road from our house. And man, he makes excellent Thai food, okay, American food. But it's a great restaurant. We go there all the time, and we tell people about the restaurant that live in our community and at our church. And people listen to a guy like me about food, okay? They assume I enjoy food and I'm an expert. So they go to this restaurant, and he has thanked me many times for telling people about his restaurant because it's helped his business. Well, many times we shared the gospel with him, and he's still a Buddhist. But he's promised to come to the church. He was going to come the last Sunday, and because of the business, he wasn't able to come. But pray for Mu and his salvation. If you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And I stand behind a pulpit that many great men have stood behind and preached. And I will not be able to convince you that it will be a good message. And you're used to coming and eating steak. Well, tonight, it may be more like bologna. But if you eat all you can, you'll still be full when you leave, okay? It'd just be full of bologna. But turn to Mark chapter 6 and verse number 49, and we'll read. says, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And when he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. In life, you are either in a storm, going into a storm, or coming out of a storm. And it said the disciples at this point, their heart was hardened for one reason, that they had not considered the miracle of the loaves. And I think we as Christians could make that same mistake and not consider that particular miracle and forget all about it and make the mistake, and our hearts could become hardened. So I think for a moment tonight that we could consider the miracle of the loaves and the fishes and see what we can learn and glean from that so that we wouldn't make the same mistakes as the disciples would make. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. I pray that you'd bless the service. I pray it would be all you and none of me and anything I've studied or prepared or decided to say. Lord, I pray that it would remove it from my mind and my memory, Lord God. And I pray that it would be a service that you would be proud of. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm forgetful. Man, I forget all the time. Sometimes I put stuff in a certain area so that I will not forget it, and I forget the area that I put it in. I don't know if that happens to you. When I go to the store at Walmart, I cannot remember where I parked. I ask where was it we parked? I have no idea. I can't remember. Hopefully you have an alarm. You have a fancy car. You hit the alarm and you turn that on. But I just forget everything all the time. One time, we were going to a Rangers game, and we went to P.F. Chang's, and we were on our way out of the restaurant, and I was looking for my keys, and sometimes I empty my pockets, give it to my wife because she has a large piece of luggage that she carries, and I don't like my pockets to be full, and I said, honey, do you have the keys? And she goes, I don't have the keys. I said, well, you have to have them because I don't have them. And she goes, well, I don't have them. And of course, that ensues an argument. You know, we don't have many arguments, but that was an argument. And I said, where's the keys? And as the closer we got to the car, I thought, man, I can't believe that I would leave them in the car. Well, when we got there, I actually not only left it in there, but the car had been running the entire time we're inside the restaurant. Why? Because I forgot. So the disciples, for a moment, had forgotten about the miracles. And if we make the mistake and forget the miracles of the Bible and the miracles that God has performed in our lives, then we could become hardened. So let's read the verses about the miracle and loaves of fishes and see what we can learn. In verse number 34 is when it begins. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread that they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and fifties. And when they had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided among them all. And they did eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. It comes at a time in the scripture where John the Baptist has recently been beheaded, and they were going to quite possibly take a time to relax for just a moment, but the people wouldn't let them. They wanted to hear more what Jesus had to say. The disciples, I assume, like the rest of the people, were tired and hungry. Their idea for the whole crowd was, just send them away. Tell them to go back to where they came from. Get the food there, or let's see if they have enough. But they had a solution, but many times Jesus sees potential in a problem, or we see just a problem. The miracle didn't take place until it was in Jesus' hand, and he blessed the loaves and the fishes. Jesus never performs a miracle to meet a human need, but to reveal who he is. And this is once again free time. And I think that miracles ought to be considered. But these disciples in the boat considered not the miracle. So let's take a few of the bits and pieces of this particular miracle. For just a moment, let's consider the food. Consider the food. He said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. Bread is a staple in our lives. If you think about it, for breakfast and for lunch and for dinner, most often, unless you're on the Atkins diet or something like that, I believe that was derived from some ungodly place, but if you're on the Atkins diet, you don't have bread. But usually for breakfast or lunch or dinner, you have some sort of bread. It's a staple. It's everywhere. I mean, you can talk about white bread and sourdough bread and pizza bread, and then they make utensils out of bread. They make it out of a bowl, and you can put soup in the bread, and then you eat the soup out, and then you eat the bread. I mean, goodness gracious, we have bread, all different types of bread. Now in Asia, it's not that much. It's all rice. We have rice with everything. You have kapak, kapak gai, kapak gratiam. We have all types of rice, and we have rice with every meal. Sometimes we have it for breakfast, for lunch, and for dinner, and for dessert, but it's a staple. It's readily available. It's fairly cheap, and it fills the need that you have. You could live off just bread. But here, the most important thing in our lives is not just regular bread or sourdough bread or white bread or rye bread, but supernatural bread. Jesus said in them, I am the bread of life. Special bread, satisfying bread, good bread. And Jesus said he saw the need and he filled a need, but in our lives he filled the spiritual bread. And bread is just enough. Salvation is good enough. But that's not just what he did. He gave us bread and fish on top of that. On our street there, and Nathan will be able to attest to this, there's vendors that come up and down the street all the time. I mean, they're selling fruit, they're selling vegetables, they're selling ice cream, different things like that. We used to have ice cream trucks that come here in America, but now all the time we have ice cream trucks. We have different things. But about 4 or 5 o'clock every night, we have a motorcycle that will come by and honk a horn, like an old bicycle horn. And about 4 o'clock, you'll honk the horn, and I'll hear the horn, I'll hop up, and it could be one of three guys. It could be the squid guy, okay? And he's got a motorcycle with a big rack full of dried squid hanging on a clothespin. Now, I don't know if you like squid, but I don't really care for squid because it tastes too much like squid, okay? And then if you dry it, it's chewy and hard squid. And I'm telling you, the folks at home just love squid, but I have not acquired a taste of squid just yet. The second guy on the motorcycle come by, and he's got a motorcycle with a case beside it, and he's got bugs and worms and different things like that on a case, and I've just not acquired a taste just for that. But then there's another guy, and he's got pork, barbecue, and he's got pork or chicken on a stick. And he'll come by and he'll honk the horn, and we'll hear him honking, and we'll jump out there. And he has a barbecue grill attached to his motorcycle. And he'll hop out. When he comes by our house, he tends to slow down every time because he knows that I'm interested in what he has going on. And so we'll tell him, you know, we'll take 1 or 2 or 100 pieces of that, and he'll cook it right there in front of you. And I love the food in Thailand. Whenever the barbecue guy comes by, he starts to cook the pork. And my wife, as soon as that happens, she goes in and starts the rice. Now, we could eat rice, and we could be full, and we could live. But man, it's so much better with that pork on top. And that's what Jesus has done for us. Just give us the bread. But he said, I'll also give you the fish. The bread was the sufficiency, but the fish is the excellency. We sometimes forget about our salvation and how good it is. And we forget about our life, how good we really have it. Sometimes we forget. Well, we'll remember some of the most foolish things, and we'll remember, we'll forget what we should remember, but we remember what we should forget. And you remember the old jingles on commercial. You guys can sing those all day long, and you remember those, but we forget how good God is to us. The second part I want you to consider, the food, and then I want you to consider the guests. Consider the guests. In verse 34, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them. Now, if 5 to 10 people were come to your home, you could probably find them something to eat. Even if 50 people came to your house, you could maybe give them some. It may be mayonnaise sandwiches or something like that, but maybe you don't know anything about mayonnaise sandwiches or syrup sandwiches, but maybe you just weren't broke like I was. But you could find something for about 50 people. But at 5,000 people, there's no way you could do that. It would take something supernatural. So for some reason in this story, Jesus made it a great multitude, something that you could barely fathom, 5,000 people hungry all at one time, and he made it so huge that it would have to be a miracle. It couldn't be just happenstance. It couldn't be, man, maybe it could happen. Well, I guess that's plausible. He wanted to make it such a great number, so it would be a great miracle. And I want you to look at the 5,000 people that showed up, who those people could have been. Could have been rich people and poor people. Could have been very spiritual people, religious people. Could have been very, very wicked people. Could have been tall people, ugly people, good-looking people. Could have been tons of different people. Let me tell you about a few people. In our church, we have a lady. Her name is Pi-un. Un is Thai for fat. But that's her name, Mrs. Fat. They told me, they said, well, her name is Un. And I said, I can't call the lady fat. Oh, that's her name. You have to call her. Oh, she's a great lady. If there's a person that comes in our church and she doesn't know who they are, she assumes they're lost. And man, she is on that person, telling them her Bible open during lunchtime. P. Owen is a great, great lady of God. We have another girl. Her name is Nui. Nui is Thai. In English, it's butter. Her name's Butter. That's her name, Butter. And she's a beautiful young lady. Her and her sister Ja have come to church ever since they were teenagers. They came to an English class similar to what my wife teaches to learn English. They got saved. And now they are faithful to church. Those are the type of people that we have. It's a great multitude. And Jesus saw all these different people. And he said, you know what? About 2/3 of you are welcome to come and eat. No, he took the whole 5,000, had compassion on all of them. And all, as diverse as they probably were, invited them all to eat. There was a great multitude, a great diversity, a great group of people who didn't deserve it. Great people who didn't deserve to see a miracle, to experience a miracle. But Jesus said, I will include you folks. There's a great hunger and a great poverty. No one brought anything to the table except for one boy. There was no shepherd. He saw them that they were having nobody. We spoke about the young girl, Jane, in our video that came to English camp. She had been coming to church for years and years. And we taught her English. And she was taught the Bible, and everybody talked Jane. She's been coming to church so long, she's a good girl, but man, she's still lost. And that Wednesday night, last night at English camp, she got saved. That's a multitude. That's the crowd. And we look, and we sometimes meet our own family and our own circle of influence, but there's such a big crowd that's out there, that's starving, that's hungry, shepherdless, and it's a great, grand multitude. There was a man who explained the feeding of the 5,000 like this and said, what if the disciples came and they began to feed the first row the bread and the fish, and the second row the bread and the fish, and the third row, and they came back to the first row, began to give them bread and fish, and the second row and the third row, and back, and the first row was like, man, I'm stuffed, I've had enough. And the back row, hey, where's our bread and fish? We're starving. That's the country of Thailand. They're asking, hey, they've heard the gospel. Where's ours? You say words like Prajal, Pra, Yesu, the name of God, the name of Christ. Many Thai people have never heard those words, certainly in a story about the Bible, and they're starving for the gospel. Consider the food and consider the multitude, and then for a moment, consider the leftovers. In verse 43, it says, they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. Have you ever eaten so much that you were full, and then you ate some more, even though you could, and then you said, I can't have any more, and they said, well, we have dessert, and he said, okay, maybe I can squeeze some in. Have you ever ate so much that you're just sick? Isn't that a great feeling? Oh, my goodness gracious. In Thailand, we have many, many, many Asian buffets. But there's always a 1 or a 2 hour time limit depending on when you go. You think I'm lying? And it's printed on the menu. If you stay over an hour, you have to pay this extra amount of money. Why? Because Thai people are fantastic because they love to eat. Oh my goodness gracious, they eat all the time. It's great to hang out with them. And they love, and just can you imagine at a buffet saying, I'm going to eat all I can, as much as I can, and then I want to take some home to go. Oh, you can never do that. You can never take home stuff from the buffet. But here, they ate all they had. They were all full, and they got to take home leftovers home. Jesus is good in emergencies. There was no food. These people had no preparation. And Christ said, don't worry, you'll get all you'll need, you'll get food, and we'll have extra. Consider the leftovers that Christ is gracious to his servants. There were 12 disciples. There were 12 disciples, and they changed from 12 disciples to 12 waiters. And that's what they were, wait staff, going around. And he said, hey, I'll give you them to eat. It's your job. You have to feed them. And so these guys turned into followers of Christ and big-time people to just waiters. And they began to feed, and they began to feed. And after they had finished, there was 12 baskets, the exact amount of the disciples that were waiters. Nobody's doing nothing, just giving out food. And God said, I'll make you a part of my miracle. Sometimes in our lives, God gives us salvation, and he gives us so much more. And we forget about all the extra leftovers he gives in our life. The family that we have, the church that we have, the nation that we have. And we forget about the leftovers. And we eat up the salvation. We forget about all those other great things that God gives us. Consider the leftovers. And then lastly, I want you to consider the great command. In verse number 37, he says, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Give ye them to eat. He didn't say, if you have time, could you feed the folks? If you don't mind, could you please give them? It was a command. The folks are hungry. They need food. Could you give them to eat? The little boy, when Christ made the announcement, the disciples had other plans. But one little boy said, you know what? If Jesus said that we ought to feed the people, I have some food. Maybe I could help. And the little boy, he could have been selfish and hid it. He could have been embarrassed of his small gift and said, I barely have nothing to give Christ, but I'll go ahead and give it anyways. Many times we could be embarrassed of our gifts and who we are and what we have to give financially or who we are and say, man, I'm nothing. There's no way I can do something in the church. Who I am, man, I'm damaged goods. And God said, if you have something, you can give it and I'll show you a miracle. The little boy could have kept it. He could have been selfish. Said, hey, this is my lunch. My mom packed this for me. It's my lunch. It's my bread. It's my fish. And today we could say, hey, it's my money. It's my time. It's my car. And forgotten that God has given us everything that we have. He could have been greedy and tried to sell it. Can you imagine him trying to sell that with a bunch of guys who hadn't brought any food? He could have got top dollar for that. Instead, he decided to give it. And I know you folks know, the Bible teaches about sowing and reaping. You always reap exactly what you sow. You always reap later than you sow, and you always reap more than you sow. He sowed just a lunch, and he reaped 12 baskets full. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy, but I am come that may have life and have it more abundantly. The leftovers. So consider the great command. Give ye them to eat. When we arrived in Thailand, I'll tell this story and we'll be done. When we arrived in Thailand, we were going to language school and we had to carry our kids with us because we didn't have anybody to watch the children. And within the church, someone came to us and said, hey, we have this young girl. She's a college student. She would be glad to watch your kids for you while you went to college, or while we went to language school. I said, that'd be great. We worked out a price. She came. In Thailand, and in our church, the teenagers are pretty much until you graduate college. We're all just teenagers, all young people. Not that they're immature. They take longer to make some decisions we make when we're 18 and 19. They sometimes, the people we deal with are out of college before they get married and things like that. So they're young and they enjoy themselves. And so this young girl, blah, came to watch our children. And so while she was watching them, mostly they just played and went down to 7-Eleven and different things like that. She took care of them, and blah was our children's friend. She was a part of the family. And we loved blah. She was a great young girl. Blah had come to the church to learn English when she was a teenager. And after many years, she got saved. She was a great servant of God, a great, great young lady. The next summer, she went to Taiwan to study Chinese, and she was going to be an accountant. And she came back, and plaw on the side of her face, it had begun to swell. And she went to the doctor, and they found out that she had cancer. And this young 20-year-old young lady, they were going to go in and remove some teeth, remove the cancer. But they couldn't. The cancer was too far gone. And because of the cancer, they began to try to fight it with chemotherapy, radiation, and things like that. And she just began to get sicker and sicker. And the last several months, Pla spent every day in the hospital. And we would come and visit Pla in the hospital, and we'd talk to her, and I would say, hey, you know, just say the word, I'll get you out of the hospital. We'll go down to 7-Eleven, get some snacks, and we would try to joke. But every time we would go and we would pray with her. Pla, you know, what can we do? What can we pray for? Pla, most often, you know, praying for a healing. And we wrote in our prayers, pray for Pla. We want God to heal her. And she knew that people in America were praying for her. And I said, what else do we need to pray for? And she goes, Ajahn, my family are lost. I'm the only Christian in my family. My brothers, my sisters, mom and dad, my whole family, no one's a Christian. They're all Buddhists still. If I die, who's going to tell them about Jesus? If I die, if I'm not here, who's going to tell them? Ajahn, they're going to go to hell. And tears would well up in her eyes, and she would just cry and cry about her family being lost. And I would hope that if I was lying in a hospital bed dying from cancer, that's how I would be. But I don't know if I would be. But this young girl was so concerned about the salvation of her family because she had considered the great command. She passed away on a Sunday morning. Man, it was a tough day at church that day, I'll tell you that. And in the Buddhist culture, sometimes you have a funeral for many evenings, let the family come in, and you have a funeral. Sometimes if you're very famous, 7 to 10 days, you have a funeral. And I can imagine that a funeral for a Buddhist person that has no hope in heaven, how sorrowful and terrible that would be. But many of the Christian churches have taken that, and we have a funeral for 2 or 3 nights to let the family come in and different things like that. We had a funeral on Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. And every night, nearly 200 people came to that church to honor and to say goodbye to Pla. And every night, it was a different group of people. Thursday night, it was her university friends that came. Friday night was mostly her family. And I would say 80% of those people were lost Buddhists, but they came to church because of Pla. On the last night, her father came to the pulpit, and this man is a Buddhist, he's lost. And he said, you folks love Pla. Her students, her college friends love Pla. Her family love Pla. Her church love Pla. But he said, Pla loved God. And he knew this, and the whole crowd knew that Pla loved God. Why? Because whenever the Great Commission was given, it wasn't just to America, but it was to a young Thai girl named Pla. And she decided, I'm going to tell as many people about Christ as I can. And I would love to tell you that hundreds of people walked out and get saved. But it didn't happen that night. But every one of those people, when they came to our church, we preached the gospel, and they heard the name of Christ and how much God loved them. Why? Because one young girl got it. Give ye them to eat. Consider the food. Consider the multitude. Consider the leftovers. And then consider the great command. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a time of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've done. Lord God, I pray that you bless the rest of the service. Lord God, be with us as we continue back to town. Be with the church as they continue to pray and continue to give and continue to go. Lord God, thank you so much for my salvation. In Jesus' name I pray.